I believe the first message overall is to note that small resource issues that you see in the barn can turn into much bigger welfare problems over time. Things like feeder adjustments, feeder space, water management, stocking density, these all will seem very minor in the day-to-day, but they can have a major impact on behaviors like tail biting and the development of open wounds over time. So I would say monitoring these factors proactively may help reduce the welfare challenges before they become widespread within a barn. Another important thought to think about is that the welfare issues, like I previously stated, are rarely caused by a single factor. They're often a result of multiple stressors interacting together. This could be their environmental conditions, like you stated with the ventilation. It could be nutrition. It could be pig flow, health status, a management practice. And as a result, preventing these welfare problems requires a multifaceted approach rather than just focusing on one single intervention.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Kemin invites you to optimize swine health and nutrition. Dive in at Kemin.com/swine. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit barnes-na.com/animal-nutrition. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week.
Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents.
Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation. Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com. Herd Software aligns your data. Guilt aligns your people. GetGuilt.com.
Welcome to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine nutrition research digested for you. I'm your host, Clayton Chastain, and today we have with us Dr. Anna Johnson and Emma Corsi. Dr. Johnson is a moral professor of animal behavior and welfare at Iowa State University, and Emma Corsi is a veterinary student at the University of Illinois. So before we get started, would both of you mind giving the audience a brief introduction about yourself?
Yes, good afternoon, Clay. Thanks very much for having us today. We're delighted to be here. Briefly about me, I've been at Iowa State since 2005 within the Department of Animal Science, and I have roles in teaching, research, extension, and service within the welfare space.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Emma Corsi, and as previously stated, I'm going to be a third-year veterinary student at the University of Illinois. I got my bachelor's in animal science from Iowa State University, and right after I graduated, I participated in this internship for the research we're about to talk about today.
Awesome. Yeah, perfect transition. So I see you guys have been doing this research together. It's probably all finished up and published now that you're over at Illinois now. On looking at assessing welfare resources during the late finishing stage on commercial swine farms. So could you tell us a little bit about what all your research involved and why you wanted to run this trial to begin with?
Yeah, maybe I'll kick off and kind of present the why, and then I'll pass it over to Emma to get into the cool details that we found. But part of my role is I spend a lot of time on farm doing welfare assessments and third-party auditing, those kind of checks and balances. And I started to notice some pinch points in that very late finishing stage, just before we pull the first group that has reached market weight, and got talking to some really smart folks in the industry. And we got thinking, you know, there's a lot that's changed with the pig. The pig is far larger. Our final target weights now are far heavier than they were when many of these facilities were built 20, 25 years ago. And we've also not changed the resources that we provide to them, more so the feeders and the drinkers. So through that, I came back to Iowa State and engaged Iowa Pork Industry Center, Dr. David Rosaro, and we got talking about, hey, maybe we should go out and actually get a survey of sorts done on current finishing space and resources and how that may be affecting that finisher pig to put some numbers to it and provide some guidance back to the industry. So with that, we designed the project, and I'll pass it over to Emma as she was out in the field doing the work, and she can share what they did and what they found.
Thanks for that transition. And this project was super great to do throughout the summer. I got to experience so many different barns and finishers and traveled definitely a couple hours in some of the cases to get to these barns. But it was a really great turnout for this project. We had 71 commercial finishing barns across two different integrators, and we assessed a little over 98,000 pigs. The data we collected was around 18 weeks post-weaning, and the pigs were averaging about 230 pounds at the time of the data collection. So our first biggest finding was that the barns with the lighter body weights, which were those under 230 pounds, tended to have a higher incidence of welfare challenges. This potentially was reflecting an underlying health, management, or a production challenge that could have contributed to a reduced growth performance. But across all our observations, we found that the two most common welfare challenges were tail biting and open wounds. So when we were looking specifically at tail biting, we actually seen that the incidence increased when there are more than 8 pigs per feeder hole and when the feeders were adjusted too tight or too loose. Too tight being less than a 40% pan coverage and too loose being then a greater than 90% pan coverage. One particularly interesting finding that we seen was actually the presence of excessive fines in some of the feeders. There was about 85% of the feeders with greater than 90% pan coverage, which contained a pelleted diet with more than 40% fines. So this means that as a result, although these feeders appeared full when you walked into the barn, much of the feed available that was actually there consisted of fines rather than those intact pellets, which you're thinking is in the feeder. So this may have caused a reduced feed accessibility and intake, which potentially led to increased frustration and competition at the feeder, which could have contributed to the greater incidence of tail biting behavior that we've seen when we are in the barn. So for open wounds, the incidence we've seen was higher when space allocation was actually less than 8 square feet per pig. We also seen it was higher when the water disappearance exceeded 3 gallons per pig per day, and when the feeder hole width was under 12 inches. Importantly, though, we didn't see any problems associated with low water flow or inadequate water availability. And these findings do suggest that even a relatively small resource limitation or a management inefficiency can contribute to increased stress and competition within the pen, which ultimately impacts pig welfare altogether.
At Barnes, we're more than just another feed additive company. We are driven by science, innovation, and an understanding of the challenges you face in the ever-changing world of animal agriculture. We are your trusted partner for new-to-market natural alternative to choline chloride, Colon Plus FC, as well as enzymes, prebiotics, probiotics, macro minerals. To learn more about our product offering, visit barnes-ne.com/animal nutrition. Together, there's always a better solution.
Gotcha. So you mentioned that if the feeders were too open, that I actually had some welfare concerns, which that surprised me. I understand very easily if they're too close. But if they're too open being a welfare concern, you mentioned the fines. Is it really, you think, then only a problem if there's pelleted diets? Or do you think that could also translate to a mash feed?
I think you can have issues with both, especially if you're not adjusting the feeders correctly. Going back to when we're seeing a high feeder pan coverage, this could be because the pigs are walking up, they're eating as much as they want, and then they're thinking, what's next for me? And then they're going to their friend in the room, and they're going to chew on his tail, or they might go to the next pig and bite on his side. So I think it might come down to a little bit of boredom after they finish eating all they can. But there's definitely so many different factors that play a role in this, and the difference diets can definitely play a role too.
Interesting. And then I also want to touch on the one of the earlier things you said. You said that the ones that had a lower than the lower end, I guess, of the average of the pens you were looking at tended to have more more concerns and welfare concerns, lesions, et cetera. And that wouldn't obviously be from a space issue since they're a little smaller. Overall, it could be a space issue. But why would you think then that the smaller ones tended to have more welfare concerns than the bigger pigs?
One possibility definitely could be related to the health. The smaller pigs, it can be suspected that they had some health challenges early on, which I previously mentioned. So when they get in the finisher, it's possible that the pigs that are a little heavier weight were picking on them, which that could result in them. When we go in the barns, we see that these smaller weight pigs actually have higher tail bite incidents or higher open wounds. And that could be because they're being picked on because of the health challenges they're facing. But like I previously stated, there's just so many factors that can go into it, whether it's water, whether it's space at the feeder, whether it's the size of the pen. It's so multifactorial that there's so many reasons it could be. But I definitely believe a health challenge is a possibility with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've also seen some issues in research barns with that too. And that one of the main issues that we saw as a contributing factor was air quality too. We would sometimes see if there was a lack of good ventilation, we'd sometimes see better pens up front near the curtain in a tunnel ventilated barn, but the ones back there by the fan kind of struggled a little bit more. And you could smell it too, a little bit of the ammonia smell if you went back there because the ventilation was set too low, and that could cause some issues too. And I'm sure that can play in. So I guess when we're looking at all this, the message that you want for producers to take home if they have some of these concerns or if they're worried that they might develop some of these welfare concerns in their herd, what should they really look out for and how should they kind of be one step ahead to try to make sure these don't occur to begin with?
Yeah, certainly. So I believe the first message overall is to note that small resource issues that you see in the barn can turn into much bigger welfare problems over time. Things like feeder adjustments, feeder space, water management, stocking density, these all will seem very minor in the day-to-day, but they can have a major impact on behaviors like tail biting and the development of open wounds over time. So I would say monitoring these factors proactively may help reduce the welfare challenges before they become widespread within a barn. Another important thought to think about is that the welfare issues, like I previously stated, are rarely caused by a single factor. They're often a result of multiple stressors interacting together. This could be their environmental conditions, like you stated with the ventilation. It could be nutrition. It could be pig flow, health status, a management practice. And as a result, preventing these welfare problems requires a multifaceted approach rather than just focusing on one single intervention. And like I previously stated, being proactive early is much easier and more effective than attempting to control the outbreak once the pigs have already begun to tail bite, for example. And we also observed that the importance of pig health and growth performance also play a role. And we've seen that the barns with the lighter average body weights did exhibit the higher incidence of welfare concerns, which could suggest that we actually seen those early challenges in health early on, which can lead to the finishing phase challenges we see. And management practices such as proper sorting of pigs at placement, a timely graduation pull, effective hospital pen utilization, and prompt treatment of our sick or injured pigs may help improve growth performance and then reduce the risk of those later welfare challenges that we see. So this is emphasizing that it's super important to view welfare across the entire production pipeline and not just solely focus on that finishing stage. And it's definitely important to note, too, that the producers are already doing so many things right, and they're following all the pork quality assurance and all the principles that they can. But this research did demonstrate the value of monitoring benchmarks, such as the pigs per feeder hole, the feeder adjustments, the water disappearance, or the space allocation. So establishing and consistently following things like standard operating procedures, employee training programs, or even your routine management audits can help to standardize management practices across your sites and then reduce the risk factors which are associated with the welfare challenges. So I would say overall, routine evaluation of these parameters can help to identify the potential risks earlier and improve both pig welfare and the overall production performance that we're seeing.
Every person on your team is wired differently. Some thrive with structure. Others drive results through autonomy. Some process information fast and move on. Others need depth before they decide. And when the wrong person is in the wrong seat, not because of skill, but because of how someone is built, performance suffers and no one knows why. Zentrix Insights maps exactly that. Behavioral patterns, cognitive style, and natural work preferences are all visible in 15 minutes. So you stop guessing who should own what and start putting the right people in the right seats. Because the best teams are not just talented, they are well-placed. Visit ZentrixInsights.com.
Awesome. Well, I believe that's all the time we have. So thank you, Dr. Johnson and Emma, for coming on the show and sharing all your research results with us.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having both of us. And if you have any additional questions regarding this research project, please contact myself or Dr. David Rosero with Iowa State University. His email is dsrosero@iastate.edu. You can also find additional information on swine health, production, research, and the Improving Pig Livability website, which is an ongoing project encompassing research, education, extension efforts, and has a goal of reducing the overall mortality in the U.S. commercial swine industry.
Awesome. And to everyone else, thank you for listening to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt podcast. Please visit us at swinenutritionblackbelt.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast channel so you won't miss out on the next episode. See you next week.